Good morning. Good to have you with us again. Please, won't you open your Bibles to Psalm 3. We'll be reading the entire psalm this morning. Psalm chapter 3, picking up at verse 1. And the title of the psalm is the Psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you are a shield round me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. This is the word of God. Well, let's pray now as we come to hear God's word explained to us. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity that we have to come before you now. We ask, Lord, that you would open your word to us, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Trusting in God in the mess of life can be a very hard thing. When our jobs are on the line, when our finances are all but non-existent, it can be very hard to trust in God. When our health is failing or is threatened, as it has been this year, it can be even harder to trust God. And when the church is going through a difficult time, well, then our struggles are almost unbearable. It seems as if things just seem to continue to go from bad to worse. You might be thinking to yourself, Dion, it's easy for you to say these things. You're leaving. We have to pick up what is left. No, my situation. You don't know what I'm facing at home or at work. You don't know my troubles, Dion. And while some of that might be true, our psalmist wants us to see that despite what is going on in our lives, God is there with us. That God, as David realizes in Psalm 3 verse 8, that God is our deliverer. Now, recall that the psalmist has developed a foundation for us to stand on. In Psalm 1, he's urged us to ensure that we know which path we are following. The path that leads to God, or the path that leads to God's judgment. Psalm 1, where are you going? Then in Psalm 2, he's told us, make sure that you know what God's plan is all about. How, despite the things of this world, God is still in control and ultimately is bringing everything to his purpose. As Psalm 3 begins, and the title which we read a moment ago, David is in the midst of a coup. He is king of Israel, or at least he was. His son Absalom has threatened his life, and David has fled with a handful of loyal soldiers by his side. Life is really difficult for David at this moment. His life as he knows it, as the king of Israel, is about to come to an end. Yet, in the midst of that, as David flees for his life from his own son, Psalm 3 is an amazing psalm that brings us hope and assurance as we follow the Lord God. As we face the struggles around us, as we try to find someone to replace me as the minister of this church, This psalm, friends, can give us hope that despite the deep trouble that we might find ourselves in personally and as a church, God is our salvation. I want to have a look at the psalm this morning, and I want to make four comments about it. The first comment this morning, which you'll see here, is that the enemies we encounter. Look how the psalmist, how David begins the psalm. Follow with me in your Bibles. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Do you notice the reference on the word many? How many are my foes? How many rise up against me? And many are saying of me. It's like the whole of David's world is falling apart. Those who are close to him are saying to him, David, just give up. God will not deliver you. Your days are numbered. You are finished. It's as if David is saying, there's just no hope for me. Everybody is against me. How many are my foes, he said. David's words are his own words, but they speak to us as well. Our woes, our worries, our enemies could be things like a financial battle. It might be the church struggling. It might be the fact that we've been told that we're going back onto short time. It might be the fact that we don't have work. It could be our health that is affecting us, or the concern for our health that is worrying us. Perhaps your worries are when Dion leaves, when I leave. Who's going to take over this church? Are they going to close the church? Friends, the temptations are real. Satan will easily say to us, just give up. Don't pursue this any longer. The church is going to close and things are going to shut down. Find your own way. And friends, I can't say whether the church will remain open or not, but hopefully in God's wisdom it won't. It won't remain, or it won't be closed, put it that way. But the temptations are there. People will say things to us, oh, come join us, oh, go here, oh, do this, oh, change jobs. And it is so easy, friends, to throw in the towel and just give up. I know that some of you have been extremely worried once you heard our announcement last weekend that we were going on to another ministry in PE. And our friends and our family might just tell us, throw in the towel, give up. There's no hope. God will not restore things. Friends, God is in control. And what we learn from this psalm is something amazing. As David is faced, as he admits his defeat, as he's about to give up against Absalom, do you see what David does here? Yes, David is talking about his enemies, but he is talking to God. Verses 1 and 2 are David's prayer to God. When faced with untold struggles, with a situation that in David's eyes seemed impossible, David spilled his guts to God and spoke about his situation. Friends, it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to throw in the towel and to give up. But friends, instead of doing that, let's turn to God in prayer. Let's lift up our worries and our concerns and our enemies to God. Let's pray about them, whether they're our personal worries and issues or whether they are our church struggles. Lift it up to God. That's why, friends, we will be starting up a prayer meeting on Sunday mornings before church from 8:15 to 9:15 for half an hour. I want us all to come together and pray to the Lord. Lift up our worries, lift up our concerns to Him. Pray about the impossible situation that lies before us, that God would resolve it. The best way, friends, as David sees, as David urges us to do, is to bring our worries, our troubles to God. Yes, we live in a world where we encounter enemies. We saw that last week in Psalm 2. But let's bring those concerns to God. The second comment I want to make this morning is the God we exalt. David prays about his problem because he knows who God is. He knows the God he follows. Look with me at verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and He answers me from His holy hill. David shows us the God he follows. And notice what he says about our God. Firstly, that David says his God is a shield. Now, a shield is an item of armor. It is used to protect you when you're in the battlefield. God as our shield means that in the midst of the struggles of life, in the midst of the difficulties that we are facing, God is there standing as our shield. He is protecting us. Not that we escape the struggles of life, we all go through those. But in the midst of those, God is protecting us by standing with us as the shield. The second thing that this God that David serves does is that God glorifies David. David is being unseated from his throne. His glory is about to fade. But David recognizes that his glory, that his honor, does not come from his position in this world. It does not come from his wealth that he has. David recognizes that his glory, that his honor, is given to him by God alone. As a church, God is the one who brings glory to the church. Not me, not you, God. As an individual, despite our struggles, our glory comes from God. That is, if we are a Christian and we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not from our ability or our lack of ability to prove ourselves. Our glory comes from God. As one commentator said, God is sufficient for us. He gives us the glory that all of us desire. He fulfills our life. He is sufficient for our life. So, David worships a God, as you and I do, who protects him like a shield, who is sufficient for all he needs. The third element that we see is with the God that we exalt is the fact that God can and will restore David. We read this in verse 3 that he will lift up my head. Lifting up someone's head is a sign of restoration. If your head is bowed, it means you are submitting. With your head being lifted, it means that you are restored again to your former position. Of course, we know that ultimately God will lift all of our heads as He takes us to be with Him when we acknowledge our sinfulness and turn to Him. But here, David is recognizing that the God he serves is a God who can restore him here and now in this world. It's a sign that God again will build His kingdom. here in Scottborough and further afield. God will restore things. It might take time. It might seem like an impossible feat at this moment. But friends, God is our restorer. Even as individuals, God protects us. He satisfies us and He restores us. And notice what happens. The fourth thing that David mentions about God here, the God that we exalt, that He's approachable or accessible. Look at verse 4, to the Lord I cry aloud, and what does God do? He answers from His holy hill. The holy hill there, of course, is a reference to the temple in Jerusalem, which David has now fled from. We don't need a God, or we don't worship a God that needs us to shout, that needs us to dance, or needs us to cut ourselves in order to hear us. Our God, if we just speak to Him, if we cry aloud to Him, He hears us. And He answers us. Notice the other amazing thing here is that God answers from His temple, even though David himself is not there. David is probably hiding in a cave somewhere from his son Absalom. And he cries out to God in this cave, and God answers him from the holy hill. Again, a sign that we don't need to be in church for God to hear us. We don't need to be the perfect being for God to hear us. God will listen to us when we cry out to Him. In our distress, in our anguish, as we concern for the future of the church, God will hear our prayer. Friends, to me, that is an amazing hope. We might be down in the dumps, but God will hear us. God will answer us. Notice this as well, that He answers from His holy hill. You see, friends, all hope is not lost. Just because Helen and I are leaving does not mean that God has given up on this church. We worship a God that hears us, that listens to us. A God, as Dale Ralph Davis says, that in the middle of this mess is able to, despite the threats, despite the raucous of the enemies, we have a God who protects, who is sufficient, who restores, and is accessible. Friends, shouldn't we trust in a God like that? Shouldn't we trust in God, who, as we learned last week, laughs at our enemies? Now, as David recognizes that we have many enemies, as he understands who the God is that we exalt, this leads, in my third comment this morning, to the peace that we can enjoy. Isn't it ironic that as we read through this psalm, David is complaining about all the enemies that are coming before him. Yes, he's recognizing who God is. But then we get this funny little verse in verse 5, I lie down and sleep and I'll wake again. Now, what has that got to do with anything, friends? But I want us to see that as a sign that David is at peace with what is going on. You see, friends, when we are worried about something, we struggle to sleep. When something plagues our minds, the last thing that we are able to do is fall asleep, is to rest. We want to keep ourselves busy so that we don't think about that thing. And yet here is David, he says, I lie down and I sleep and I wake again. It's not that he's lying down to commit suicide and never waking up again. It's that he's going about his daily thing of sleeping and waking up again. It's not that David's struggles are finished. He's still in the midst of this coup. His son Absalom is still hunting him down. And yet, in the midst of that, David is able to sleep. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ, when the disciples were all on the lake and this big storm blew up, the Lord Jesus was sleeping. Why? Because he was completely at peace. Now, why is David able to sleep in the midst of these struggles and these difficulties? Why does he have peace in the midst of all this? Well, look at the second half of verse 5. Because the Lord sustains me, I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Isn't that an amazing verse, friends? David is facing probably one of the worst times of his life. And yet he's still able to sleep because he knows God is in control, that God will sustain him. And even when there are insurmountable odds, the 10,000 standing against him, he knows that God is with him, that God is his protector, that God is approachable, that God listens. Friends, in a similar vein, we can sleep tight in our current situation that we are in. Whether it be for Helen and I that we are leaving the church and going to another place, whether it be for you being left in this church and wondering what's going to happen, whether it be us in our individual problems, whether it be work-related or family-related, we can sleep tight knowing that God is with us. Even though the odds might be stacked up against us, God is with us. Even though as a church, when we look at things, we cannot fathom how we could ever have another full-time minister. Being small, not being able to have the necessary funds to pay the minister. But God, friends, is with us. We can rest assured that God will sustain us. Isn't that amazing, friends? In the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our difficulties and our hardships that we all face, God sustains us through them. God is there with us, so we don't need to stress about the future, or, for that matter, about the present. We just need to trust in Jesus, and we can sleep easy. That's not to say that we now sit down and do nothing about trying to take things further, but we do not need to stress and worry about it. That does not mean that if my job is failing that I just sit and wait to be retrenched. No, I'll go and look for a new job. But I can rest easy that whatever happens, whether the church stays open or closed, God is there. He will sustain us. As Dale Ralph Davis says in his excellent commentary on Psalm 3, he says, no circumstances have yet changed. Yet, there is no alarm or anxiety on David's side. You see, he brings his worries to God. He prays about them because he knows who God is. He knows that God sustains him. My final comment this morning, as we trust in this God, who is an amazing God, who is our shield, who brings us glory, as we rest in him, knowing that he will sustain us, we also know that we can expect help in the days to come. And so my final comment, the help we can expect. The last two verses of this psalm are really amazing. In fact, the whole psalm has been amazing. But just look at these words. Verse 7, arise, O Lord. Deliver me O my God, deal with my enemies, he says. And in verse 8, for from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. David knows that it is the Lord God who saves. Now, yes, we could get caught up in this and say, yeah, well, we also know that God saves, but we're still in the here and now. We've still got to face our problems. Yes, I think there is definitely the spiritual element of salvation, the idea mentioned in here, that our salvation is only found through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. But I think there's also a physical element to the salvation here that David speaks about, because we know that eventually Absalom was killed and David reclaimed the throne. Might not happen instantly, but there was definitely a physical salvation as well. Of course, it hasn't happened yet with David, so the way that David writes this is phenomenal. He speaks here in what is known as the future present tense. In other words, he's claiming that this has already happened, although he knows that it hasn't. He's claiming that this, or that God's enemies are still there, and yet God has already rescued him. David speaks as if God has already sorted the situation out, although he's still facing these enemies. You see, friends, when we face our struggle, are we resting easy knowing that God is the one who brings salvation? Even in the midst of our current difficulties, personally or as a church, do you and I know that God will rescue us? Do we know that God is the one who brings salvation? Friends, as you sit here this morning, as you watch this video this morning, as we reflect on the troubles that you and I face, that we as a church are facing, are you able to talk to God about them? Are you certain of the God we exalt? A God who brings peace in times of trouble, who saves us. Friends, if you don't know this God, won't you come and chat to me or comment in the section here below so that we can get hold of you, so that we can help you to understand how God can be with you in the struggles of life. But friends, if you do follow him, if you are trusting God, then whatever your struggles are at this point in time, trust God. Rest in him, because he is the one who brings salvation, both spiritually and physically. Now notice here, as the psalmist comes to the end, he's prayed his prayer to God, acknowledging who God is, recognizing his enemies. And look what he says to those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. May the blessing of God be on your people. You see, friends, when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, when we trust him in the mess of life, God blesses us through our struggles. Who knows how God might bless us as individuals in this world? Who knows how God might bless this church? But we do know that God will bless each and every one of us one day when he returns to take us to be with him in the glory and the presence of God. So friends, yes, there is deep trouble in this world, but trust the Lord in the mess of life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for this amazing psalm, Lord, which just really speaks mountains of encouragement into our hearts, Lord. Yes, we face struggles. Yes, Lord, you know the enemies that we are facing, the insurmountable odds that are against us. But thank you, Lord, that you are a God that protects us in the midst of it. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God that listens to us, that brings us the glory and satisfies our lives so that we don't have to find satisfaction in the things of this world. Thank you, Lord, also for being there for us, for being our salvation, and for ultimately bringing your blessing on us. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, just a few notices to bring to your attention. As you'll heard me speak in the sermon, we are starting a prayer meeting on Sunday mornings about 45 minutes before church starts. So we'll be starting at 8:15 in the morning and running until about 8:45, and then breaking and then going into the service. So please do try and get there so that we might pray for the church and for the future, for our meeting with the bishops and all the rest that goes with that. Please also don't forget, if you're listening to these talks and unable to get to church, to provide the finances for the church. We still have bills to pay. And then don't forget our Bible studies that take place this week, two on Wednesday, 9:00 in the morning at the church, and on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Then on Thursday up in Renishaw Hills, that one you do just need to let us know so that we can send you a pin. That's at 3:00. And then, of course, our teenagers on Friday from 6 to 8. So do just take note of those. And, well, have a great day.